The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm always awesome when I start my week on speaking to you.
Right, absolutely great. Let's talk about the United Nations. So they've just accepted this Israeli resolution. Tell us about it.
Well, this is extraordinary and actually a historical day. The United Nations General Assembly yesterday adopted a resolution without actually going to vote. This resolution brought to you by Israel, co-sponsored by Germany, combating Holocaust denial and distortion. So basically the language in the resolution spoke about the need to combat anti-Semitism, Holocaust denial, Holocaust distortion, and implore all member states to put into motion some kind of education, commemoration, something to make sure that this is dealt with. It would be binding on all member states. It also mentions social media companies, that social media companies need to do more to combat anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial. Now, you and I spend a fair shake of our time on social media platforms, especially Twitter, and it's an absolute cesspit. In the last couple of days following the hostage situation in Texas, which we're going to talk about a little later, I have noticed a significant, horrendous uptick in the amount of anti-Semitism and, of course, anti-Zionism. Now, what this resolution does is it provides a specific class or specific classification for Holocaust denial using the IHRA definition. This is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition. And all signatory countries have to address this and demand that social media networks in their countries remove posts that fall under the IHRA definition. Now, we also have to bear in mind that when it comes to combating anti-Semitism, the IHRA definition clearly states that you can criticize Israeli policy that is democratic, but you cannot say that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. And the IHRA definition clearly states that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. So in other words, denying Jews the right to have a nation state, the right to organize ourselves politically, the right to a national liberation movement. If you deny that right, which is the right of every nation, including the Palestinians, that is anti-Semitism. And I'm sure you, like me, see some of the most vile anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic invective on social media platforms.
What always bothers me is that the Holocaust, and I know it's going to sound bizarre, but is safe. In other words, it's very, very easy to stand up and say, I'm not an anti-Semite because I don't deny the Holocaust and I'm horrified by it. It's Malcolm Gladwell, and I was telling listeners about it earlier. He wrote a very interesting essay talking about why racism increased during Obama, because people were able to say, well, I voted for an African-American, or I voted for the first black American to be president. I can't be a racist. So it almost gives permission to be a racist in other areas. And I find that there's something quite similar with the Holocaust. We see these grand gestures of Holocaust, empathy maybe. But at the same time, it might actually even give permission to people to be Israel haters, to hate Israel just for the sake of the fact that it's a Jewish homeland and things like that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I definitely agree with you there, but I would go as far as to say the Holocaust is no longer safe. We've seen it exploited on the back of this pandemic, where everything from green passports to vax to mask mandates have been compared to the Holocaust. And I'm going to say it again. Sitting in your home watching Netflix is not the same as Anne Frank. Having to be vaccinated or carrying a green passport is not the same as wearing a a yellow star and being marked for death. But the Holocaust is being cheapened. And I saw a situation yesterday which really raised my hackles. As you know, I'm a little bit of a royalist. I follow news there, and I know that Prince Charles for Holocaust Memorial Day has a documentary with survivors. And one of the survivors happened to say that she spoke at Eton College, and Prince William, the future king, really seemed to show concern, really seemed to want to learn more, whereas Prince Harry was bored by just another woman, or old woman, as she puts it, coming to talk. Now, they have very, very divisive fans, and no sooner had news got out that, you know, she said, well, you know, Prince Harry wasn't so interested, that the anti-Semitism directed at Holocaust survivors,
wow,
because they criticized Prince Harry, was extraordinary.
That is so interesting.
And this is where we find ourselves at the moment. And you know, we've just, and I must also note a very important point. The reason for that resolution being passed in the United Nations yesterday is that yesterday marked 80 years since WANSI. Mm. WANSI, or the WANSI Conference, was the gathering of the upper echelons of the highly educated Nazis. These were decorated soldiers, scientists, doctors, lawmakers who gathered at the WANSI village just outside Berlin to put the plans together for what they called the final solution to the Jewish question.
Problem. Yeah.
And so it was hugely symbolic, and we are just days before International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which takes place on the 27th of January and coincides with the liberation of the Auschwitz extermination camp. And this was an Auschwitz survivor speaking, but you know, we're at a place where the Holocaust has almost become so trivialized by many, which is absolutely terrifying, that you can use it in your social media division over two princes.
It's just it's quite remarkable that this is even needed. That is the other thing that we don't really stop to consider, that there has to be protection of Holocaust survivors and Holocaust memory, and it needs to be raised at the United Nations because the assumption is that it won't be otherwise.
Well, somebody brought up a very interesting point yesterday. You know, the United Nations have accepted this resolution, and we do have Holocaust Memorial Day coming up next Thursday, but then we have to ask the question, this almost pathological focus by the United Nations and their various bodies on Israel and denigrating Israel and attacking Israel at every given opportunity. You know, it is a contradiction.
Absolutely it is. Before we talk about Turkey, I want to talk about Texas because it ties in with this conversation, how it was reported, what the reaction was. Give us your observations.
Well, again, as a media person and as a news consumer, I was astounded that it took, first of all, the FBI, of all people who are so careful not to offend any woke sensibilities that are going on, that they couldn't quite tie a hostage taking in a synagogue to an attack on Jews. We also had the BBC and Associated Press saying the hostage taker, in inverted commas, detained people. Well, you know, you don't really detain people in a hostage situation. Mm. You hold them hostage.
And why are we calling them hostage takers and not terrorists? I don't understand this new word, hostage taker. Where did it come from? Even Times of Israel using it. Everybody's using hostage taker. What is it? What is a hostage taker?
Well, we have subsequently found out that this was not a hostage taker. This was a terrorist. The Jewish Chronicle, London-based publication, procured the audio from his final conversation, the terrorist Malik Akram's final conversation with his brother, where he goes on a anti-Jewish rant, where he says, "F the Jews." I'll leave it to your imagination to figure out what the F is. Where he says he prayed for 2 years for the opportunity to attack a synagogue, and he wants to be a martyr. He is hoping that his actions will open the door for more to follow in the United States. And we also can't take out or deny who this terrorist was there to support. He was there to support Afia Siddiqui, who is serving 86 terms. Afia Siddiqui, who they call Lady Al-Qaeda, definitely not on the Hanukkah card list, Howard. This was a woman who, at her trial, said, "I want no Israelis, no Zionists, and I want a genetic test to prove otherwise." I mean,
where have we heard that genetic testing thing before?
Gee, I wonder. Hmm. You know, this is absolutely extraordinary. You know, we have to beg the question of the FBI, who 48 hours later said, "Oh yes, maybe this does have something to do with anti-Semitism." President Biden himself also dragged his heels, saying that this had something to do with anti-Semitism. And while you're at it, President Biden, if you happen to be listening, please can you appoint Deborah Lipstadt as your anti-Semitism czar? You know, it's enough dithering already. Boris Johnson, on the other hand, came out straight out of the gate and said this is an anti-Semitic attack. But we have to ask the question of the FBI, the BBC, Associated Press, and all others. If it was any other minority group, would you drag your feet in identifying the motives for this attack?
Yeah, it is a very, very, very difficult. Well, it's actually not a difficult question. It's just, unfortunately, the answer is difficult and very unpleasant. Tell us about Israel's ties with Turkey.
Well, it does look like ties between Ankara and Jerusalem are starting to warm up significantly. I mean, I do giggle. There is an article in Reuters today that President Erdogan has hired the services of a senior Israeli doctor because, you know, he has a few health problems. Well, you know, he knows where to find a good doctor, Howard.
Absolutely.
But in all seriousness, earlier this week, President Erdogan, in a press conference, said that he will be meeting with President Herzog very soon. And we now know that talks are underway for President Herzog to visit Turkey. This will be the first president since 2007. And now this morning, the breaking news that Foreign Minister Yair Lapid has had talks with his counterpart Mevlut Cavusoglu in Turkey, who actually, you know, asked him about his health, knowing that Yair Lapid suffered COVID-19 just recently. And the two said that they would like to improve ties, that, you know, with the previous administration in Israel, ties had soured significantly for a number of years. And just last month, President Erdogan told a delegation of visiting Jewish leaders that Israel is absolutely vital for the security and the stability of the region. And included in that delegation were some Muslim leaders as well. So we are seeing a significant warming of ties between Ankara and Jerusalem.
Which is very, very good news and a great way to leave it. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. Stay warm and have a Shabbat Shalom. We'll catch you next week.